BJ Patterson.
Yo, what up, Marty?
What's going on, man? Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. Thank you for coming on tonight. I appreciate that.
Of course.
We got one half of the co-host able to make it.
That's all right. We'll hold it down for old Ian.
We will. I think he had a mafia thing.
All good.
So he's not able to join us tonight. But we do have a really great guest, Evan. He is a waterless detailer out of California.
Nice.
Yeah. So I thought you guys would hit it off well. Plus, he's pretty much brand new into detailing. Hasn't even really done full time yet. So he's only been going for about 2 years. And most of that is all part time. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, I guess.
That's the way to do it. Hey, so Evan, you are on.
I made it.
What's you up, made man? It. Hey, so guys. Evan, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, bro.
Thanks for having me.
We also have DJ Patterson on, who's with Eco Green Mobile Detailing.
Yo, yo.
Very excited. Nice to meet you, brother.
Likewise, man.
Hey, so Evan, tell us who you are, like how you got into business, what your business name is, all that stuff.
All right. Well, for starters, my name is Evan Becerra. That's pretty much where I got the B's for my name. The B's obviously coming from the last name. Basically, I am a waterless majority of the time auto detailing service out in Northern California, about 20-30 minutes north of Sacramento. Basically, I got into the business not knowing what I wanted to do, really.
That's cool.
I started off working at the local car wash, and that pretty much kicked off everything.
So what'd you do at the car wash?
There, I was just a basic car wash guy. We did, I thought it was what was best at the time, which we just did, you know, a big horsehair brush. I know I'm saying that brush, yes.
Oh, that's fine, bro. Bro, wait, I used to own a watch. DJ and I met from a car wash. So
I was going to say, yeah, that's where I first started at, man.
That's really cool. So, no, we're totally right in that same wheelhouse with you. So go for it.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought, you know, the, you know, big bucket of, you know, you put more soap, you know, the more soap would be better. So, you know, that'd be good, no scratches, you know, everything would be decent, right? Well, slowly but surely, you know, I started getting the eye for detail. You know, I started picking up, you know, swirls and scratches and started, you know, getting the eye. And, I'd see brand new cars, nice cars with dealer license plates on them come in. And then on the way out, I slowly made my way out of the back to the back of the lot, which was, you know, doing the tire shine, windows, getting where all the tips were coming in. And that's when I started noticing all the swirls and all that. And that's when the wormhole began. I started digging down into swirls and where they came from and how to prevent them. And
cool. So where, how long ago was that?
That was actually about, I'd say about 5 years ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what made you, do you know what made you get that job? Did like you just happened into it or did you feel drawn to go work at the car wash?
Well, actually, to be honest, I've always been around cars all my life. My dad was a mechanic, a Chevy mechanic. So I've always been around cars, you know, I've always liked them, always went to the, you know, racetracks, you know, drag races, all that good stuff. So, you know, motors always attracted me, you know, the cars just always attracted me. And then I just wanted to finally know how to make them look pretty.
So you were like, okay, I need a job. Might as well just go work at the car wash.
Yeah. Well, actually I moved out of my parents at 18 and I moved up my buddies up here to Sacramento. And that was the first job that called me back, to be honest. I started applying everywhere and they called me back first and I was like, hey, all right, cool. tips sound good, man.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that's a cool story, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
DJ, I don't think I've asked you. How did you ever, because you used to work at a different wash. Like, what made you drawn into working over at Oasis?
I'm the same. I mean, you're like telling my story start to finish. I mean, I always liked cars. Like, you know, my dad always took his truck to the car wash. I'd always go with him. Like, I was always fascinated by, you know, a clean vehicle and so forth. But really, I mean, the reason I worked at the car wash was because it was within walking distance from my house and I didn't have a car at the time. So it's the only place. I didn't want to do fast food. And it was the only place nearby. I walked over and I got a job. But just, you know, being able to just being around the cars all the time, you see nice cars and just all different types of cars and so forth. And it just, I don't know, it just, I got drawn to it. And then I got into the detail shop and then, you know, I had a guy in there that would mentor me in the detailing and just, it's just my personality in general, just making things look better or organizing it. It's just kind of like my personality type. So I just found a love for it. And then, you know, things didn't go really well at that car wash, which is why I came over to where you, the car wash that you owned. So,
no.
And I just stuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I got into the car wash world out of detailing. So I would have been at about 2.5 years, maybe three, probably about 2.5 years of business. And I remember specifically just like kneeling down one time to get some wheels. And I was like, okay. Is like I was loving what I was doing, and it was like, okay, uh-huh. How do I do this on more? Like how? Because at that time we would sometimes have 3 or 4 guys, and we'd knock out a bunch of cars at this building called Warren Place, and so we were doing pretty good, but not near the volume of, you know, without the next option would be like you, where you have multiple trucks. So, but I went in a different route, and I was like, okay, how do I do more cars in a faster speed? And I went through a rabbit trail and was just like, hey, what about a car wash? I've always through them. I remember my dad, when I was super young, that was one of the earliest memories I have of doing something fun with him, was riding in the car with him to go get a car wash. And so it just naturally then I think clicked. And that's why I start like randomly met somebody, David, and then met this guy and blah, blah, blah. It, you know, it actually worked. So that's cool. Like we each have our own ways of, we got into the car wash world and then we all came out with a different aspect. So Evan, you're there at the car wash, seeing these problems in the paint. And what gave you the entrepreneurial mindset to just go, hey, I should start a detailing company and clean up these swirls?
Well, I guess to kind of make the long story short, I'm the type of, I have the type of personality, I guess you can call it, I've Googled it, it's called the multi-potentialite, and it's pretty much, I have like the mindset where once I learn one trade or trick or one skill, I kind of look at it as, all right, you learned this skill, you got it on your tool belt, all right, what's next? So as far as just washing the cars, I was like, all right, what's the next step? All right, detailing, that's where he takes, you know, we got the detail guy in the back, and he's the one that takes out the swirls, he's the one that takes out the seats and does, you know, does the whole shebang. And I was like, all right, well, you know, let's go start making our way back there. Let's go talk, hang out with him at lunch, you know. You know, start picking up extra little tricks, you know, you can learn and do on your car at, you know, at home, make it look nicer.
Nice.
So, yeah, basically, that's what I would do at my lunchtime. I'd go spend, you know, my lunch break over there, learning new things. And it's funny, I remember the boss saw me there one time with them, and he told me, he said, you never have enough to become a detailer.
Wow.
He said, I want somebody that will pull out the seats and, you know, do the whole nine yards. And I was like, wow. I was like, okay. I was like, I'm just, you know, I have no interest in that. I mean, I did, but he had no idea I had interest in that. So I took that as like, okay, we'll see. I took it as a challenge. I was like, all
right. Yeah, that's a chip on the shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Yeah, so after that, he kind of gave me, like, you know, the cold shoulder as to not, don't go over there anymore because, you know, you're not going to be good enough. So I was like, all right, whatever. So the funny thing is we had a body shop next door to our car wash. And they would always come in and bring their cars right before, you know, they do all their body work. They come in and have us get all the compound off real quick, run it through the car wash. Yes, I know. But we wouldn't, I mean, we wouldn't use the brushes on the freshly painted cars, but we'd still use the mitts that we use all day, which is still putting extra swirls, but that's another, that's a side topic.
Yeah, side topic, man. Hey, that's on the body shops, so it's all good.
Yeah. So then I got a quick interest in that. Like, I saw, like, the cars coming in wrecked, you know, just totally sideswiped, you know, rear-ended, whatever. And I'd see them going back, you know, a month later, brand new. I'm like, holy smokes, how do they do that? So, you know, that caught my eye on bodywork. So, yeah, I got in a wormhole on going to bodywork. I started looking around for other jobs, and I found that one. I did a year at a body shop. And I figured out they weren't doing it right either. So, yeah, that's when I started doing my own thing and figuring out how to do it the correct way.
Cool. All right, so let's pause. I wanna get into a couple things, but we haven't even introduced the beer yet.
That's right.
So, man, that was like jam-packed, boom, boom, boom. Killer story, but, geez, we're also here to drink some beer. So.
Definitely.
We've got to talk about your selection. Very interesting selection. Why don't you go ahead and introduce it, and why did you choose this beer?
So, I went today with, it's called Not Your Father's Root Beer. It's made by a small town brewery. And basically, I heard about this beer on a radio station that I would listen to, and I was like, wow, what's the fuss about? Everybody keeps calling me about this beer, so I decided to try it. And I'm not really, to be honest, I'm not a real big drinker. I never really liked the taste of it. Besides the buzz, other than that, it's not, I mean, for me, I guess. But this beer here is just like root beer on steroids with alcohol. Like, I mean, I think the sugar in it overpowers the alcohol, so I could just drink it and not have the taste and feel the buzz, pretty much.
It is definitely sweet.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's definitely it's definitely sweet. And so here in Oklahoma, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Here in Oklahoma, we've tried to explain it to people, but they don't fully always get it. We have literally two different levels of beers a lot of times.
Yeah.
So with this beer, you can either, and, you know, there might be some that would argue that it's not beer.
Yeah.
And like I get it, but who cares? We're throwing it into the beer family, deal with it. Anyway, so this beer, like, if you go into the grocery store or to the gas station, it's a very low, low point beer. And so it's overly sweet because there's no alcohol kick to it. But this one we went and got to at the liquor store. So it's a 5.9. So
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my big thing, is that 5.9 is what got me. 5.9 with no bad taste. I mean, me personally, I'm not really a beer person. So that's why, I mean, for people that don't really, you know, drink, this is a perfect choice if you want to join the party and not, you know, feel left out.
Yeah, true. Killer. All right, well, I like it. The only, it just can be a little less sweet, but
yeah,
it's definitely super easy to drink. And I introduced it to my brother-in-law, I don't know, a couple years ago when it came out, because he loves root beer in general, and and he would only drink when we would be at the beach. And so I was like, a couple years ago, we would take our beach trip as a family. I bought a bunch, and I was like, bro, just wait till you try this. And he was in heaven. Like, he was like, oh my word, that's so good, because he loves root beer in general. So for people that dig root beer, then yeah, it's definitely a good choice. All right, so you told us your story, Evan, about why you got into detailing. But why? Because it's cool that both of you guys chose waterless. And you said you're waterless most of the time. What do you mean by that? And why did you choose to be a waterless detail company?
To be honest, because when I first even thought about it, I wasn't doing it full time. You know, I was doing it on the side, you know, after work on the weekends. So my pay wasn't the greatest. So I didn't have all the money to invest in a pressure washer, you know, a big 50-gallon tank, you know, all the great chemicals. So I said, all right, well, what'll be quickest and cheapest to get me going? And that's what kicked it off with waterless. It was, you know, pretty much a water bottle, a couple gallons of water and some towels, some good soft towels, and you're good to go.
Yeah, so are you, like, you traditional waterless, like a waterless product in a squirt bottle and you spray it on the paint, wipe it with the towel? Or are you, like, what's the other one where you put a bunch of water that's got the diluted down? Yeah, no-rinse. Yeah.
That's pretty much why I dropped the waterless in my name, because technically, I mean, I'm not using a waterless, I guess, a typical waterless method. I use the O&R sometimes I use waterless, whatever is more convenient. I mean, I just adjust to my situation and tackle it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider them both waterless, meaning minimalized water. But so you didn't choose traditional waterless like DJ. You chose more O&R type.
No, originally I was, you know, it was waterless, but the O&R, I mean, I guess it's kind of the same concept. I mean, I don't use the double bucket with the O&R. I have my method. I mean, some people might, I think it'd be closest to the Gary Dean method, I guess you might say it, but I just, you know, do the O&R and just soak a bunch of towels in it, and I use my pump sprayer, fill that with O&R as well, spray it down, and then use my wet towels ready to just, you know, wipe, flip, and then when that towel's done, grab another one, wring it out, and go there, and
Interesting. So, yeah. DJ, you chose traditional waterless, but I don't think O&R was really out when you were there. I'm just going to see why you made your tradition, you know, your decision to go, you know, waterless.
Well, I mean, not everyone knows this, but, you know, you introduced me to waterless back when I was, you know, working at the car wash. And
Yeah, it's all good.
So,
yeah.
But the reason I was able to, you know, leave that job and go do mobile without putting up a bunch of money was because there was a waterless solution. And I was able to work out of the trunk of my car with just a few spray bottles and some towels and not have any overhead at all besides spray bottles and towels, really. So, and I just had to learn it, you know, like I wanted to succeed at doing mobile work. You know, I didn't want to go back to work for anyone ever again. So I just had to adapt this method and make it work. And now if you were to give me a bucket or a hose or a power washer, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to efficiently wash the vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, you laugh, but I'm serious. Like
I'm laughing because I agree.
It's just, I don't know how to, I mean, it would take me forever to wash a car with water. Forever, yeah, literally.
Well, and some vehicles, it does take you longer to wash traditional water method versus waterless.
And my argument is that how many times do you walk around a vehicle when you're washing with water? You got to pre-rinse it, then you've got to use the soap, then you've got to rinse off again, then you've got to get the water off so there's no water spots. We walk around the vehicle twice, maybe three times, and that's it. You know, walk around it to wash it, walk around to get the streaks off, and then maybe one final check. After that, I mean, it's super simple.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you looked into O&R or not? You just want to stay the way you're going?
No, I've tried it once and I just didn't like it. I mean, there was no, it's more steps, more water, more equipment, like more, you know, I've got to have buckets now. I've got to have water and I've got to dispose of the water. Like it's just so much easier. You know, we have a big 55-gallon drum at the shop. We filled up with our solution. Everyone fills up their, you know, 5-gallon containers every day, and then you put that into your 50-ounce pump sprayers, and that's it. I mean, there's nothing else to it. I mean, it's just so much easier that way, in my opinion.
Yeah. DJ, by the way, I was not laughing at you because
no, I know.
I was laughing because I had the exact problem this last weekend, and I'm kicking myself in the you know what because of that exact reason.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Like it's all good. Some people would laugh, but I get what you're coming from. I give you
check this out. So I was like, you know what? I pressure washed the driveway at the house, and I was like, you know what? Since the driveway's right here, you know, let's just do the cars real quick. Mm-hmm. Let me do my car because my girlfriend's car is way more expensive. So I'll do my little bucket. So, yeah, I do it. And I swear, I thought it was going to be way quicker. No. But
no.
I pulled all the hoses out.
Yeah.
Unwinded it, you know, hooked it because I have the electric one. So I got to get the extension cord too. So, I mean.
It's too much work.
It's just, yeah, I mean, what's better than just a squirt bottle? I mean, squirt bottle, there you go. Panel by panel, you see
that's it. Panel by panel, man. It's just, you just take it one panel at a time and you're done.
Yeah, you don't got to go over. I mean, what I like best about it is say, like, if I'm going to do a clay bar treatment, the best, panel by panel. What's the point of, you know, by the time you sud down the whole car with the foam bath, you know, clay bar it, you got to, you know, clay bar it, I mean, foam it again by the time, you know, so it doesn't dry, and I don't know.
It's just way too much.
It's way too much, in my opinion.
So I will be the other side and say, since I've done both, there is times I so feel like I just want soap and a wash mitt, and I just want to really clean everything with traditional. You just sometimes feel as you're getting more, you know, you can get in all the nooks better. You got soap all over the place. Like, I think it's just part of the process, too. Like, I enjoy seeing the soap on the car. I enjoy, you know, mitting it with the wash mitt and rinsing it off and making sure I can spray out the door jams with the power washer and use degreaser. And like, it just, I don't know. There's just sometimes I'd like to do that. And then other times I just want to pull it in, hit it with the waterless, and be done. Like,
yeah.
So I go both ways. But I think you're definitely true, both of you. Like, to get into detailing the least expensive way, which absolutely is good. If you're hands starting down a business, you want to start it with the least amount of expenses to make you sure that you can. You can get rolling. And so the best cost effective way for somebody just getting into the business is waterless, because you don't have to. I had to go get a loan. Like, when I had the idea of being a mobile detailer from that buddy, I told you the story. I was sitting at dinner. I was really unhappy. He was like, hey, you should try detailing. I was like, oh, I like my own. I like cleaning. And I literally had to go to the bank and get a loan from the bank in order to buy a power washer and a tank and a trailer.
Wow.
You know, so I had to start with negative equity, so to speak. Like, I was starting in the hole and had to work out of it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just had to buy $100 thing of, you know, car wash waterless and some spray bottles, you can start a lot faster.
Absolutely. So,
Evan, how do you think that affected as you're trying to move into it full time, not having the liability and the financial responsibility of using a traditional water type system?
Well, see, the thing is, I'm here in California, and back in 2015, they implemented the whole drought restrictions. So that restricted everybody from washing their cars, period, to even watering their lawns to once a week. I mean, and we count in the summertime in California, it gets up to like 100, let's say on average 105 on average summertime every day. So that was my big thing, too, is that whole drought plus the heat and being in the middle of the sun with the big foam wash.
So tell me about that. Like,
my simplest way.
Can mobile detailers, they use water? Can they do it even when there's all those restrictions?
Well, I mean, now they do. But I mean, if you got the, you know, county enforcer out there, they can write you a ticket technically if they want to, or a citation for dropping water. I know some people, or I've not know, but I've seen people like post in LA and stuff that, you know, their citations they've gotten, because you got to think about too, you know, we got the storm drains over here that go back into our drinking water. So if you, you know, if they see you, I mean, you just, California is a very green state, I guess you can say. So a lot of people look at that as bad as, you know, dropping water, wasting water, when we could be using it to be drinking, or for our agriculture, because that's what caused the drought restrictions in the period in the first place.
Wow, was, I get it.
You know, we're a big agriculture state. So waste, yeah. So they saw as, you know, as citizens, I mean, or not citizens, people, you know, normal city people, you know, waste. You don't need to be watering your yard every day. You don't need to be washing your car every day. So, you know, we'll take the water from you, and we got to, you know, we need to give it to where it needs to
be. Well, I mean, at least you're going waterless, so you're good. Hey, so you say you've been open for business, so to speak, for 2 years, but still doing it on the side. Is that right?
No. Well, technically, I'm going on, let's say, like a year and a half. But let's just say I haven't really been too headstrong, I guess. Which was, I guess, I think the whole anxiety, nervousness about, you know, approaching people. And, like, now I'm just getting, I'm getting more experience, and, you know, I'm getting more confident in my skills, and, you know, I'm getting more, you know, getting the more the people skills to go talk to people, you know, at the car, you know, at the, not the car wash, at the gas station, you know, out in public, you know. Before, you know, I was scared that, you know, I wasn't good enough, or, you know, I have all these.
So you think the biggest struggle that you've had is overcoming just your own doubt?
Yeah, to be honest, yeah, it's one of my biggest, I guess, you could say pet peeve, I guess, is I'm a very self-critical person. So until I think I believe I am, like, good enough, then I don't think somebody else will believe. So, yeah. So
I mean, it sounds like it. I get it. Like, and that's what I think is, we talk a lot about passion to profit. Like, how does somebody take something that they're passionate about? Because if you're a detailer, you're generally passionate. We've all shared stories of how we got into it, why we are into it, why do we like doing it. So how do we take that passion of what we're doing and actually make a profit out of it, make a living, make a business, make even a career, you know? And if we like doing what we're doing, how do we make that financially, you know, beneficial to us? So you think that is what you want to do? You want to eventually be full-time and, like have a full-blown detailing business?
Oh, yes, definitely. Like DJ said, like, I definitely got to the point in my life where I don't want to be anybody. I don't want to be working for somebody. Like, I don't want to be building somebody else's dream. Like, I want to be, you know, working on mine. But, so, I mean, that's my goal eventually. But now, recently, we've just purchased a home at the beginning of this year. So now I finally have a garage after never having a one. So now I can actually, you know.
Awesome. So you'll move stuff from, like, mobile or something. You'll move it to where people bring it to your house.
Yeah, because right now I'm in a small, where we moved, we're in a very small town. Like, let's just put it this way: our 911 is a fire, is an alarm, like a big siren, like three siren. You know, one siren is an emergency, but not bad. And yeah, it's that small of a town that the whole town can hear the siren when, you know, something's going wrong, something's going bad. So my plan here is, I mean, capitalize here. And then, I mean, cause I work, what I work full time is about 30 minutes south of here, and it's a bigger city. So if I can squeeze a detail in after work, then I squeeze one in. If not, then, you know, I got, you know, more prey here in town.
Cool. So how do you think, how do you get yourself, and this is probably a bold question, you might not know the answer, but maybe we can help. like if that's where you want to go, how do you kind of overcome the fear of talking to people? Yeah.
I'll give you my secret.
Oh, cool.
Lots and lots of meditation. Yeah. I guess you could say mm-hmm. I'm growing older. I guess the older I am, the more wiser I am. I'm becoming. And yeah, it's helped out a lot with this, you know, just having all that self-doubt, all that anxiety, all that stress. It becomes a rock in your path, and you just got to learn to either, you know, jump over it, go around it, pick it up, move it out of your way, you know, but either way, you got to keep going. You can't let those little things like that stop you from following your dream. It's a, or your passions, like I tell people, whether it's music, drawing, whatever, just keep following it. You know, if you're good at it, just keep going. No matter what anybody says, just use that negative, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's
so what do you do? I mean, what do you do for meditation? I, and DJ does yoga. So we kind of all do it. I started first with yoga, but now I've been doing a lot more of just going on YouTube and clicking meditation music and following just some music playing, and then getting my yoga mat out and really doing a lot of stretching and then a lot of sitting and thinking. Is that what you do? What do you do for meditation? How do you do yours?
Well, I listen to when I detail and during work, I tend to listen to podcasts, and I've came across the Joe Rogan podcast. I came across a gentleman named Wim Hof, and he came out with this breathing technique that, you know, helps them, that's supposed to help you tap into your you know, your deeper self, and as one might say. You know, out of curiosity, I was like, man, this guy's crazy. No way. He did all these crazy records, you know, climbed, you know, big mountains in, like, you know, freezing cold mountains in shorts and shoes. And that's it. Like, no t-shirt, you know, to prove that his meditation works. And yeah, it's I went down that, and yeah, even wintertime, I'm taking ice cold showers. I mean, that through that technique, Wim Hof technique, that's my method, I guess. It's a breathing technique. It's a breathing technique that introduces cold showers. Yeah, so I would highly recommend that. Let's just say it will change your life. As corny as it sounds, it changed mine.
That's cool. I like it.
It's pretty good stuff.
All right, so let's pause. Let's talk about this beer for a second. DJ, I mean, tell me what you like. You drink it. I'm about to open up my third. It's so easy to drink.
Third? I got a sugar overload.
I know. Like, definitely. I'm about to be bouncing off the walls. But
it's.
Yeah.
I know, right?
The kids are going to be tasting you guys in a second.
But it's good. It's just super, super sweet. And I'm like, I like bitter and like, just that I like beer for the beer taste, like, yeah, and I like just really strong, like, I don't know, like, just that really, you know, the beer taste. So it's different for me. It's like I would never go and buy I'm not a big soda drinker at all. I mix my soda with, you know, my whiskey. That's pretty much as far as I go with soda. So it's different, but it's good. It tastes just like root beer. It's 5.9, so, you know, you get a little buzz, you know, the more you drink. And it's not bad at all. So, I mean, nothing against it. It's not my cup of tea.
So, Evan, when you drink it, do you taste the root beer? Do you taste the alcohol? What is it that
taste
drops?
Any alcohol, by the way. Okay.
That's my thing is why I drink it, to be honest. Yeah, let's just say since I'm in California, good, I'm on the other team.
Oh, okay.
Let's just put it that way.
So you
that's
you,
what's up.
Yeah,
hey, you
we got to vote here in June for that. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens in Oklahoma. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to pass. Like,
yeah. I see it passing. It's just it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like,
so what's interesting is we're right in the middle of a teacher strike. I don't know if you've heard about this, Evan, but it's really horrible. Our teachers are, you know, there's different opinions on it, but at the end of the day, you got to admit they're not paid enough.
Correct.
So they have striked against the schools and to say that they need better pay. And we're hearing different things from, I don't know, different sides of the, you know, where's all the casino money? Where's all the gambling money? And then I saw something because they told us, you know, years ago when we voted that in, that not all, of course, but there was some percentage of money that was supposed to go from all the casinos that they opened up here in the state to go into the schools. And I, you know, that's where I've gone, hey, where's that money? And I read something the other day that it was a post from a guy who was on the Indian board, and he was quoting, it was something like $8 billion over the past, I don't know, let's call it 10 years, they've given back to the state for the schools. And his point was, we get audited on that all the time. We cannot cheat that. So you guys need to start asking where that money is.
Wow. Yeah.
So whole nother can of worms, but we get into that point to say that we really think that medical marijuana will pass because the state needs money. Like, and the amount of money the different states have collected, it's really going to come down to, honestly, them just saying, hey, we need that sales tax revenue. So it's a mess out here.
Yeah, because that's what our big thing was. I mean, me personally, as you, I don't mind paying the taxes and all the extra, you know, the stuff that we got to pay. But as long as it's going to the right place, you know, I just, you know, as long as it's not going to just, you know, something like we have the big, the fast railroad here in California, the one that's supposed to take you like to San Francisco to LA in a couple of hours, like 2 hours, something like that. The speed train or something like that. I forgot the name of it, but that was like their whole big thing. And that was just like, you know, I'm like, well, I don't want money to go to that. I'd rather go to, you know, schools or, you know, something good that benefits it, you know, something beneficial, you know, as long as it's not going to the bad, you know, wrong areas, I guess. But, I mean, to each their own, everybody has their opinion.
Nice.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Chase a little. Go ahead.
All I got to say.
Oh, you mean tax revenue?
Money.
Yeah, insane.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so let's talk these first, as you're really trying to get into the business more full time, and even just the idea of when you were like, hey, I want to have a detailing business. Think about what marketing you're doing and what's one of the main things that you think is helping you get clients.
To be honest, I think that was one of my.
But yeah, cool. That's fine.
I can say is that I haven't been the best. I'll admit it straight up. So I guess you can say I kind of wasn't trying to build it because I was living in an apartment before here, so I wasn't trying to go at a rate too crazy, you know, to you know, bust out paint corrections, you know, I can't, or paint enhancements, as you guys, you know, or whatever you want to call it. I didn't want to do that, have extension cords out and all that, so I didn't want to get too crazy yet until, you know, I got into something more stable. So I guess that's why you can say now I changed my name, that's why I got a logo, you know, a better looking logo. So now I guess you can say I'm
okay, so
headstrong.
That's cool. So now when you're thinking
now,
like, as you said, now you're in, you know, that house. Awesome. That's congratulations. That's really cool. So what do you think you should do? Like, what do you think is one thing that you could do to help get clients?
To be honest, now that it's out, it's starting to become nice weather here in California. Get out there, get to know people, go out to car shows, go out to events, car meets, whatever, everything. Get my t-shirts going, get, you know, stuff like that, going. I tried the other day, the Instagram ads, and that wasn't, I guess.
Yeah. So biggest, when you say you did an Instagram ad, like, what'd you do?
Everything, you know, once. So I did one of the promoting, yeah, boosting one of your mm-hmm. pictures to, you know, bring more attention to your profile and
yeah,
area.
But which post did you, what did you
I
do?
Guess it, I believe it was the one with the leather cleaning. Leather cleaning is had a picture of the bottle of leather cleaner, interior cleaner, and had a big 50-50 shot of a leather seat. One half was nasty, and the other half was clean.
And so what'd you say in your post?
Yeah, that was the one. To be honest, I don't remember.
Well, cool. Well, DJ talked the other day about how a lot of times detailers will use photos that really aren't hitting customers in the way their mind is thinking. So, DJ, tell us a little bit more about that. Like, if somebody's really starting out and they're really wanting to market, Evan mentioned some things. He said he wants to go to car clubs. He wants to... You know, right. So guerrilla marketing, he wants to on his feet be out there going. But a main way to do marketing, because we can now generate free marketing mm-hmm. through these social media platforms, but maybe some detailers just aren't doing that the right way. What do you recommend that these guys do?
Yeah, and everything you're saying is great. You know, getting out there, getting your face in the place and so forth. One piece of advice I have is to find your target market. I'm not sure what your demographic is in your area. You say it's a very small community, so which is a huge advantage to you, because there's a guy here in Chandler that has like a super small population in the
2,500 like, people and
he
four
is
other
killing
cars.
It.
Yeah, four other detailing people he competes against.
So I'm just like, wow, I wish I was in that small of an area because I would dominate it. But really find out who your target market is. Is it, you know, my target market in our company is, you know, pretty much like the stay-at-home moms that, you know, that drive the nice Escalades and the QX80s and so forth. And the husband has the BMW, the Mercedes, the Ferraris and Porsches. And we know how to market. We know where to go to find them at. We know that. So if you narrow it down to a specific target market, whether it's the car show, the people, the car gurus, and you want to go to the car shows, then cool. But once you figure out who that is and who you're talking to, then you can adjust your marketing to that. But, you know, the post you did on Instagram with the 50-50 shot of the leather seat is great because it's showing here's a before, here's an after. And I think more posts like that, just educational posts that are visual too, showing a night and day difference of what you can do and putting education behind it, opposed to some guys might say, oh, look at this shiny car. Like, talk about, you know, what got it to that point, or, you know, why is it important to clay bar a vehicle, or just really put education behind your posts and give it some meaning opposed to just some guys will just post a shiny car or some wheels or whatever. But yeah, that's really my advice is to narrow down your target market, figure out who it is you're going after. But utilizing social media, I mean, you can target ads on Facebook to specific areas in your community or demographics. I mean, you can narrow it down to, you know, women that are between 34 and 44 years old that have kids that are in elementary school that interests are luxury items and so forth, and you're going to target those people specifically. So you can really make money and generate clients from your couch at home. You don't have to really in this day and age, you don't have to get out and go and, I mean, it's great to go out and pass out cards and so forth, but you can, cause I mean, really we're on our phone 24/7. And so are all your, clients too. They're on social media, they're on Facebook, they're on Instagram. So if you hit them where they're at all the time, they're going to eventually start seeing it and start seeing it and start seeing it. And as soon as they need their car detailed, they spill some coffee or their kid throws up in the car or, you know, whatever, they're going to think of you immediately because they've been seeing your stuff over and over and over and over and over again. So staying consistent and posting, you know, 2 or 3 times a day, always keeping stories going on your Instagram, making sure you're hashtagging local hashtags in your community. So with me, we live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I do hashtag Tulsa, hashtag 918, which is my area code. You know, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Which he did do that. I'm looking at this post. He did do, which is cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you did Woodland, Arbuckle, Collison County.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I mean, that's what you want to do because you're actually marketing the people right there, you know, in your community. So keep that up. I mean, keep doing that. Keep it local. And you're going to start seeing, every year you're going to start seeing you're growing, growing, and growing, and growing, and growing. It's just going to take time to get there. I mean, my first, second year, I was wondering if I should still do it because I wasn't getting that much business all the time. But you know, I'm 8 years in now, almost 9 years in, and you know, I'm turning business away. I can't even take people the same week sometimes. So it's just consistency.
So, and here's one thing I would say too, I'm looking at your post.
Sounds great.
And so, what DJ said, the other day, which I don't know if he went into it yet, but I'll tease him into it, is how a lot of times detailers will take a picture and make a post almost as if they're marketing to other detailers, because we feel, since we're watching and following other detailers and we see them posting photos of the cars they do, we sometimes want to then make posts to show the cars we do, which is cool because we're in a community and we can bounce back and forth off each other. But it's not always the most beneficial when you're marketing to someone who's not in the detail world. And in your comments, you say 50-50 shot of these leather back seats, which is true. And it's a great 50-50 shot. Like, you got a clear line of where it's clean and not clean. But maybe, DJ, what should he say if he's trying to market to somebody that's a mother sitting at her house scrolling through Instagram that might catch her attention, as opposed to just here's a shot and a 50-50?
And I want to decide a disclaimer, like, by no means am I like picking you apart or whatsoever in regards to your social
media. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely not. Yeah,
I think they're great. Okay. Okay, let me just start
there.
I used to do it. If you go back on my marketing, if you go look at my Instagram from day one, like, I was detailing to other or marketing to other detailers and saying, hey, look what I can do, look at me. I was trying to really get a name in the industry opposed to get some money to feed my family, right? So what I would do in this post is maybe talk about why it's important to have condition your seats and how often you should do it. So, you know, treating your leather is going to prevent premature cracking and aging of the seats and so forth. And just really give the background to why it's important to condition your seats and how often, how frequent, and kind of what it does. That way they can see the difference and know why it's important opposed to look what I did. You know what I mean? Everything should be educational. You got to throw in some posts that are really cool and whatever here and there too, but everything, you should always try to find a way to teach your audience why it is what you're doing and maybe not even how you did, but why it's important that you did that. Why is it important to
make sure? Why is it important this customer bought it? Like, play off of the, not just why you did it, but this customer bought this because they have kids in their back seat all the time and they've always got grass from soccer practice. And so here's what we did to clean that. And so as the mom's scrolling through her phone, she goes, wait, I got kids. Yeah, my car's always looks like that. Oh, if that person bought it from this detailer, then I trust that person would, you know. And so that would might be something that teases them enough to get into it, because you're saying this other soccer mom bought your service.
Yeah, and one good example is to me is always headlights. You know, it's the one, it's like, you know, it's not like, hey, look, I made this headlight crystal clear. It was faded before. It's like, hey, now this person has full visibility at nighttime when they're driving. Now they're actually driving at night safely opposed to unsafely because they're having their visibility is diminished because their headlights are foggy, you know? Just really giving that education behind it, and you're going to provide more value than the other detailer in your same city and state that's just saying, hey, look what I'm doing. You know, you're okay. So pretty much, you're making yourself the expert. You're the expert at everything you do because you're giving education. You know exactly why you're doing what you're doing, and how you're doing it. So,
I think like that. I definitely feel like that would give me more of an edge because as great as I want the detailing community to be, it's like the more as you get into it, you see it's not as bright as you know, like
no, not at all.
Let's just say it's not as welcoming, not at all. as other trades, I guess. So I guess
there's a lot, and I know you're in some of the groups on Facebook too, and I just don't even bother anymore. So, but there's a lot of egos, which is why I completely stepped away from all that, and I'm just really focusing on.
So out of respect for those guys, like that's why I keep saying passion, like. If we are detailers, if we are in this game, so to speak, if we're in this profession, it's because we're passionate about what we do. And so, of course, there's going to be, we're proud. Like, of course, there's going to be egos. Like, when I see this stuff, I go, like, I get it, man. Like, that is badass. Like, you did a great job there. But most people get offended because somebody else thinks that they're better. And then, well, hey, man, I made a car shine like that. That doesn't mean you're better than me. So that's where I think the tug gets, the rub, you know, where we have that problem because we don't respect that everybody else is just as passionate as we are because we can produce the same results where we think we can. Does that make sense?
I think that's why there's so much ego
because we're so passionate about what we do. But it might be tough to break the ego. You know, I get it. Like it might just be one of the negatives of our industry.
Yeah, but to be honest, like DJ said, probably the least.
True. I mean, if you're offended by everybody else's ego, DJ did the right thing. Like, get out of those groups because it's just going to make you more mad. So, I mean, he did the right thing and get out. I don't like being in the groups because to me, it's just the same thing over and over, but you know, to each his own. Those groups are impressive though, that many people got in there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them at all. I mean, it's nice to show off your work. And like I said in the last podcast, I think it's like, it's definitely cool because like, you know, we're all alone. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just you and you detail all these cars and you do a lot of nice work. But, you know, definitely make your post educational to your demographic and your market. But you can repurpose it and post it in those groups and say, hey, man, look what we did, blah, 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 to show off your skills there. But make sure your focal point is on your demographic and what's going to bring in another customer. But you can also you can repurpose it. You could share it somewhere else in these pages. No big deal. But that make sure you're detailing for the customer, for the next customer, and not for I can't wait to get like 50 likes in this group because this is badass. Like
for the detail,
you know, screw that. But you know, you're good though. I mean, your Instagram's good. I mean, you've got a lot of educational posts here and there. You've got some personal stuff to show personality and so forth. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing at all. I just think you should really focus heavily on, you know, really maybe to sit down and have a marketing plan, like, you know, two posts out of the day is going to be educational. One's going to be fun. One's going to be a video. One's going to be a live video or, you know, just if you have a plan in place, then you can start tweaking it. You know, that didn't work. Let me go ahead and put, you know, just play with it.
Cool. So, so when you're thinking moving from one, you said, you know, 1 to 2 years, moving your second to the third year, and you said you're now in your house, you want to go a lot more into it, picking up some people from work in that area and maybe doing more at your house. Like, what do you think would get you to that next step? Like, what would you want to know in order to help get you there.
I think, to be honest, a big mistake, not only me, but of a lot of detailers, is we focus too much on the detailing aspect and not on the business aspect of it. And that, like, I've worked in tons of jobs, from customer service to construction to what you name it, I've done it. And one big thing I remember about customer service is, man, people remember you, like, people will remember you, your name and your face. Like, so if you don't have your customer service skills up there, then yeah, you're not going to really get far as you think you might. And I mean, that's just one part of the business aspect. You know, you got, you know, marketing, like you guys say, finances, you know, all that other stuff, which is all stuff you don't learn when you clean a car, when you buff a car, you don't learn all that stuff. So, you know, that's where you got to unplug yourself and learn, you know.
All right, so what's one piece of advice that you can give to somebody that is business sense of, I'm trying to go into the next level? What's one, and it could be very simple, like, what's one thought that would be beneficial?
Is the thought, which is pretty much I tell myself every day when I wake up, is to be the man, you gotta be the man. It's pretty much, as I guess you could say, is a quote. It's all right. So if you wanna be that, you gotta let's follow it.
DJ, what's one bit of advice that you would give somebody?
Man, consistency is key. You just gotta be consistent in all you do, even when it's, you know, times are slow, times are hard, you're like, you're not really feeling it, you know, you've got to continue to push through and think about the next week and the next month and the next, you know, next 3 months. You know, you always gotta be planning ahead. So just be consistent in all you do, in your systems and your procedures, processes, and always be learning, man.
Yeah, I would think mine, and I'll say it 500 times, is I think it's so easy once some cash starts coming in and once a little money starts coming in. And when I say little, I mean, for me, it was just, you know, gosh, I was $500 ahead that month. You know, I paid rent and I had some beer money. Like, I was like, hell yeah, I'm successful. Like, so to me, it was so much I had to learn to save, because here we got winters. You know, we have seasons. So it's so hard to, in the summer when you're making, a lot of money for us in a sense, then to save enough to get you through the winter and not just go spend money, you know, actually save some for that rainy week or, you know,
weeks and months.
Yeah, I don't know, that weeks. Or
we've had a really bad winter so far.
Yeah, it's been rough.
It's been horrible.
Oh, man. Our worst rainy rainy week was probably like 3 days in a row.
Jeez. We haven't had much since, you know, the first of the year that detailers or detail shops, you know, anybody around here has been steady. You know, it literally 4 months, well, 3 months of you just don't know what the week's going to be like. So that happens, you know, here. So yeah, I think that's the big deal of not just going to blow your money when you've got a little bit coming in and being able to set some back to help you through the tough times. That would be mine. So anyway, let's rate this beer, if we're going to call it beer. And since it's a Pints and Polishing podcast, it's a beer. It just is, you know. So, Evan, how would you rate Not Your Father's Your Beer?
Well, like you said, it's not really a beer, I guess you could say. It's more of, I guess you could say, alcoholic beverage. In my book, I'd probably give it like a 4 because I'm not really a big beer drinker. So something that tastes less like beer is probably winter for me. Yeah. So I guess that would be one up there, I guess. But I mean, you guys might have different opinions.
Sounds good. DJ, what? So. Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. I'm a fair weather fan of beer. Like, it's tough for me to drink too hoppy or too this or that. Like, I just kind of like it light and fluffy.
Light and fluffy.
Light and fluffy. You know, like a good, a good wheat beer. I'm good. You know, throw a little bit of fruit in it. Makes a good
beer. Oh, we're talking about beer.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We're talking about beer. All right, so DJ, how do you rate Not Your Father's Root Beer?
I mean, no offense. It's not your DJ's beer.
That's not your DJ's beer.
It's not your DJ's beer.
Are we gonna have the first one? Are we gonna have the first one?
Okay.
Four beers later,
I'm like one and a half, Marty. Like, if you can, like.
Oh, bro, I'm done with three. I'm done with three.
I can't. It's so sweet. Oh, they'll be at the office tomorrow. That's for sure.
Oh no! So the liquor store I went into, I grabbed a six pack and I was walking up to it. And I was like, "You guys don't have this in the like pick your six, so I can just buy two of these and like four regular beers." Like, and she was like, "No."
Yeah.
She goes, "But I can sell it to you one at a time." And I was like, "Really?" I was like, "Okay, I'll take two. Like, that's all I'm gonna drink." But then I was like, "You know what? It's going to be super smooth. I'll probably want to go ahead and drink a third, so I bought three."
How'd you do that? Nice.
Yeah. So I'm finishing my third, and I'm good. So what are you going to rate it?
I told you. It's the first one on the podcast, man.
Okay. You rated it a 1 out of 5.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. How about alcoholic beverage category? What would you rate it? Excluding beer.
Sorry, man. It's good. It's
all good. Like I was thinking too. As I was at the store, I was thinking I'm probably gonna drink two, and those other two will probably be for the next maybe next 3 weeks, and then the other two probably good. The week after that. So it'll last about a month.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
okay, man.
Alcoholic.
I'm gonna give it. So to Evan's point, if we're gonna call it just an alcohol beverage, but honestly, I tried this thing seriously. When I first heard about it, I was excited. I was like, because to have like a flavored beverage, you know, root beer, and then have alcohol, like I was super excited, but. When I first bought it years ago, I was like, man, it's just way too sweet. Like, I just, I can't do it. So, you know, alcoholic beverage, like Evan said, yeah, I'd probably be up there. But this is a Pints and Polishing podcast. So, yeah, I mean, I'm down with – I'm going to get a little bit higher than DJ, though. I'm going to go 2.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go 2 out of 5 because I have finished my third beer. So, evidently, I liked it enough to keep drinking it.
There you go.
But it is what it is. All right, so closing thoughts, DJ. What would you tell someone in year 1 to 2, you know, 2 to 3, you know, somebody that is listening that they're in it, but they're just not hitting it all the way? What would you tell them in order to help them press on and keep going if that's, you know, if that's really their passion? Like Evan, you know, he's passionate about this. He was at the car wash. He's done this. Like, he wants to help people get their cars looking nice. But there's that rub. There's that struggle of taking what they're passionate about and making it a business and turning it into a profit. What's something that you would give them an advice, since that's what you've been able to do?
Yeah, man. You just got to look at it like a business. I mean, you got to have processes and systems in place so that you know what to do in any kind of situation. Anything from how you answer the phone to how you schedule your customer to how they get, they're reminded, just really making sure your systems are in place from start to finish. So just sit down and write out, okay, from the time I answer the phone to the time I leave the detail to the job, having it all written out and in place, that way you can duplicate it. Because if you want to grow, if you're truly trying to grow a business in this industry, you're not always going to be the one doing the work if you want to grow. So you got to make sure you can duplicate it to other people or be able to train other people, because once you get really busy, you don't want to have to go back and be like, okay, now how do I make my systems now where I can actually teach someone else? So if you have all that stuff in place while you're slower and while you have the time to actually work on it, once you blow up, which will happen, everything's already in place.
But, so in order to do that, I think Evan, you've got to evaluate the time that you spend. So like you've got work and then you got some details. What do you do in your off time? And I think that's a problem that a lot of guys can get into is we have a passion. We have something we like, but they don't understand how much back end work it takes. And it's not just the cleaning the cars. It's what am I doing from, you know, wanting to get home, to eating dinner, to, you know, when I need to go spend time with the wife or the family or the girlfriend, or spend time for yourself, but at the same time, put in as much extra time to help build the business with and processes and learning about financial things and how should you spend your money marketing, you know, all that stuff. It takes a lot.
You know, one best advice I have for as far as marketing goes, like you've got to capture emails from every single client that you get, because you know when you're slow, like we've had a slow winter, so we've went back for the past 8 years and pulled emails and sent out email blasts saying, hey, we haven't heard from you in a long time, you can book online, just click this link, here's 15% off. And we got bookings out the wazoo today just because we sent a simple email to people that we've touched a long time ago. So if you don't have people's email addresses, how are you going to market to them? You just can't sit and wait on them to, and I'm talking to myself, my old self, like I can't just sit there and wait on them to call again in 6 months to a year. If I have their email, I can actually have email marketing campaigns sent out to them once every month or once a quarter, just giving some value and so forth, just keeping top of mind with them. So in regards to marketing, emails all day long and having email campaigns for each type of client. So if they're, you can have email campaigns for everything, the interior detailing, ceramic coatings, gosh, you name it. I mean, there's so much you can do with that. And I mean, that's where your money's at, is marketing to your people that have already used you. It's less, it takes less money to market to someone that has already used you than it is to gain a new client.
Cool. Love it, man. Hey, yeah, you guys both killed it. What a great podcast.
Thank you.
Tons of information. So thank you, Evan, so much for taking the time to come on. DJ, a lot of great input. Evan, tell people where they can find you on social media and, you know, even locally if somebody hears and wants to reach out to you or just other detailers that want to link up with you. What's your social media handles?
So we got Instagram, which is my main marketing, I guess you can call it, would be Bees, B-E-E-S _ auto detailing. And my Facebook, which is I've been working on it slowly but surely, is, it's a auto, Bees nice. Auto detailing.
Cool. Cool.
Would be the
DJ, where do people find you? Oh, go ahead, Evan.
And I want to throw it out there. If anybody has, any questions or, any thoughts, I'm all ears. I'm open. So,
That's what's up, man.
I'm open ears, yeah. I guess.
That's a good attitude, it, so, for sure.
With no judgment.
That's how you grow.
DJ.
Yep. Business is at EcoGreenMD on Facebook and Instagram. If you care, personal is DJ Patterson on Instagram. So that would be me.
Cool. Awesome. And we are at Total Auto Solutions, and definitely follow. We've got different things throughout the week that do Q&As with different detailers, and we've been having a lot of fun with that. So
yeah, you're doing a lot, cool. Man.
Thank you guys. Yeah, we're trying. Yeah
you're doing
a lot
good.
Of fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Evan, once again, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for your time. DJ is always great input. So you guys, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks again.
See ya.
See you guys.